when I was in Shanghai and my compadre was arrested. He was at Shenzhen on the Jiangxi Railway there, and taken into Jinanfu. He bribed the men there at the jail there at Yarmouth, sent me a telegram, said he was arrested, and please come immediately. His life depended on it. I jumped on the train and went up there. And I went in to this yamen. I found he had had his trial and had been sentenced to death by the Fu court. And in executing old orders, they had several of these prisoners to execute. They, in a truck, they would take about anywhere 3 to 5 out to the execution grounds, shoot them all except one, and bring that one back, put him in there. Zhao had been out there twice. He didn't know where he was going to be shot or not. When he saw me, he ran up to the prison fence den. Well, it was cold, ground was frozen. He dropped down on underneath his real quick. Kauto slammed his head against that hard earth. It sounded about like you take a flat edge of a hatchet and strike a board. Well, they took him on back. I hollered and told them I'd do what I could. So I went in to see he was the head magistrate there, or the judge, head judge there, of the Fu court. And I told him I was up there on behalf of Chow Han Ching, who had been accused of murdering this old woman. And he said to me, "Have you come up here to interfere with our court?" I said, "No. How can you talk like that?" I said, "What kind of talk is this?" You know how you say that in Chinese. It's somewhat. I told him I wanted an interpreter. I said, "I have come to see if I could help Chow Han Ching, if I can't help him, I help him. If I can't, I must go back to Shanghai. But I've come only, and I couldn't remember the word witness. I didn't know what the word witness was in Chinese. I just didn't know one anyway. I told him, I said, got to have an interpreter. So he brought me a little young kid, looked like he just I asked him witness. And I told him in Chinese just the same thing as I told the judge. I'm up to heaven. Oh, he grabbed that word witness. And he told the court about it. And it seems that it just didn't recognize in this young kid who was probably a very close relative of one of the high court there. That I had shown him some face. Oh man, he turned to my help immediately. So, they asked me about this property down there at Wei Xian. And I told them that the Chun family had no right to be in there at all. We had to leave. And we won't know what Chinese name we had at least under. I told him, Lo Ming Chun. He asked me to describe it. He says, the Chun family claims there's no such person as Lo Ming Chun, never has been. Well, I knew Lo personally, described him as a very short, small Chinese. Wore very thick eyeglasses. And he told me to go back to Shanghai and get Lo Chi's men and bring him up there. Lo was wealthy Chinese. He wouldn't go. But he sent his brother. His brother was younger. So I took his brother back up there with me. And according to Chinese court, you more or less liable to do something like that. But she's talking about those officials up there in the court. They gave him a fit and told Lo's younger brother to go with me back to Shanghai and get Lo and bring him up there. Told me I wouldn't have to come unless I wanted to. Well, Lo's younger brother got him, took him up there. I think Lo gave him the property up there. We didn't want to use it anymore. But none the least, I really don't know what actually happened to our property we had there in Wei Xian. But I do know that they turned Chao Han Ching loose.
After they got the property?
No, Brother Fulton got the property. Yeah, they turned him loose after I got through testifying up there. And I used this little, it was really a show house. It's just a little youth, the younger fellow, as an interpreter. Well, he knew a whole lot more about that court than I did. But it seems that the whole court turned in my favor when I told them about Lo Han Ching and this was his brother and everything just turned my way. They turned
turn my intestine loose. Leave him a clear bill. So that's out of the, and we never heard any more about the case. Needless to say, we lost our $6,000. And the court held, I think, that 99-year lease was like ownership, and that we were not allowed to have a 99-year lease on property up in the interior. I think but that was confiscated for no good to us anyway. But the other place that I had rented up there, I had three other places. I had rented myself for the company, but I rented them on a 30-year lease.
Would you get a Chinese to rent it? You couldn't own it. Well, you could rent the land, couldn't you?
I rented it myself. I don't know if it's legal or not, but I never had it sold.
When did all this happen? Like 20s?
Well, that was, the first year I was there. It was fall of 1926 when I first went up there. 26 and 27, I didn't have any trouble. Chun's relatives, that is the gangsters of his relatives, or bandits, started closing in on him when I'm about 19 and 28. I think it's about 28 or 29.
Chun's in the province was known for bandits anyhow, up in the hills there. Yeah. There are a lot of them up there. At that time, in the late 20s, the U.S. and the other governments were thinking of giving up consular jurisdiction, huh?
Territoriality.
And what did you people in China feel about it at the time? I mean, if you had to go into those courts that you've been telling us about.
I figured I wanted plenty of money to spend if I had to. That's the way I feel.
Were they really corrupt, the courts?
I think some of the courts were corrupt. And I think some of them were very good. You've heard, of course, of Feng Yuxiang, Christian Yan Wu Shandong Province, right? And he would go around over his province, which is Shandong, and appear in person at the trials. Some of the magistrates not even knowing he was there, many of them not even knowing he was there, go to the food courts the same way. And he dressed up like a coolie, more or less. Just coolie. He ran into one court down close to the Unwheel Line, I think it was. Or Kiangsi Line, I don't remember which place it was. But anyway, it was not over, about 100 li, which would be 30 miles, from the border of another province. And I remember the story because my compadre told me. He said he ran into a situation down there that was so common. They're having trials for the families there. It was all mixed up in adultery with the various wives and kin folks. And they say Fung Chong listened to that thing for just a little bit. He got up, told the master to get out of the way, he'd take over the court. So he looked at them, all of them. He says, it's 100 li from here to the border of the next province. If you haven't crossed to that province by tomorrow at sunup, I'm going to cut the head off of every one of you. I don't want people like that in my province. I never heard in my, never heard anymore what happened to them.
God. Did they, were they still there doing public executions when you were there?
The public executions were the thing when I was there. The deed itself was considered more or less a minor event. You're just cutting off a single head. But they wanted to accelerate the impression that it would give the general public. And that's why they used to back there, even years and years ago, they take an old head of a person that had been executed and stick it up on the gatepost that comes into the city so everybody could see coming in and going out. The what had actually happened to people that violated the law. When they executed, I never saw, but I think 6 heads cut off the whole time I was out there. I saw several more that were cut off, but I didn't see the actual knife go through his neck.
What was it like? Tell us what the public execution was like. Did they bring him in the cart and all those kind of things?
Well, they would bring him out of the jail. They usually pick out a large open space within the city, if he could find it in the city, if not, around the edges of the city. And they, most of the places, if it's any size to the city much, they had what they called execution grounds. And they would let the word out, there'd be an execution, and the people would come in from all around the city and countryside too, to see it. They would gather around. The old executioner, he was a highly respected man that prized his job and incidentally got paid very well for it. He come up with his knife. He had an execution knife about that long, a handle on it about that long. It's a blade, more or less, than a knife, really. He come out there right after they brought in the people, the thieves, bandits, to be executed. And they bring them in rickshaws. Now they would have their feet shackled and their hands would be tied behind their back. They would bring them in, 2 men, to the rickshaw, one pulling, and then we put the rickshaw down. The rickshaw coolie would come and help this man run along with him. They pull him out, put him erect on his knees, and then space them on up. The 6 that I saw was spaced at a difference, at a space, oh, as far apart as from. Here to that tree out there, say 40 or 50 feet, 50 feet anyway. And this old executioner, as soon as that is completed, he'd come out like that. They could turn me here and see. He'd take that sharp knife and run his thumb up on it just like that. Just as if he was had his job to do, and he wanted to be sure his knife was very keen. And all of these bandits know that if you jerk your head or try to get out of the way of the lick, that he'll just chop you up bit by bit until he kills you, and it's much more painful than to take his medicine. So he run up behind this first one, and runs up behind him, and he'll come back out just like that. And that head comes off. Now, that body is so tense or something, and it stands up there for just a, say, a second or so. Yes, it stands there for just a second or so, and the blood, I didn't come out of the jugular veins or something, sprays up just like a little fountain. The blood spraying up, just like coming up out of it. Then he's right behind that one, up to the next one. And he cut five of these heads off, and then that sixth one, he couldn't quite stand it. He cut down like that, and the knife turned up into the jawbone, didn't cut his head quite off. But he rolled him over and kicked him and cut it off anyway. Now, that is a terrible sight to see. But the Chinese, and I would say there's a couple of thousand anyway standing around watching. Everyone, they had his head cut off from the first to the last. They start clapping just like this, and that's a terrible sound. I think, as I told you before, you know, he had just clapped just like Babe Ruth and Dr. Homer.
They didn't try to do this to foreigners, did they? You had special. They wouldn't do this. They wouldn't even threaten you with execution, would they?
They wouldn't what?
Wouldn't threaten you with execution. I mean, they can't by law, but somebody might say, you know.
Oh, no, it wouldn't be public execution. That'd be too much. Chinese would kill you. But it would be thought of as bandits. They wouldn't